The following is presented as an entertainment program emphasizing folklore. It is not intended as legal or medical advice in any way and should not be used to replace the advice of legal or medical professionals. Hello and welcome to the New World Witchery Folk Magician's Notebook episode for February 2024. These are short monthly episodes that offer a brief overview of folk magical topics and information that might be useful to you over the coming month. We highly recommend you also pick up a reliable almanac for folk magic, such as Benabel Wen's Metaphysician's Day Planner, The Witch's Almanac, Llewellyn's Witch's Datebook, or your local Farmer's Almanac. Let's take a look at the moon for February of 2024. Our new moon date will be on February 9th in the sign of Aquarius, and the full moon date is February 24th in the sign of Virgo. It is sometimes known as the Snow Moon or the Hunger Moon. Some notable astrological dates. This month begins with a lovely little catalog of holidays and events. On the first, we have Candlemas, sometimes also called Imlc in the Neopagan calendar, and St. Brigid's Feast Day, or St. Brede's Feast Day, depending on who you are, where you are, and how you're pronouncing that. The moon will be in Libra on that day, making it a good day to bless your magical supplies by leaving them out for Brede or St. Blaise or any other beneficial wandering spirit you may know, to bestow some enchantment upon them. Candles in particular are good to bless this day. Then, on the 2nd, the moon shifts into Scorpio. It's waning, so it's a good time for introspective and shadow-based work, which is appropriate as it's also Groundhog Day, another occasion for shadow work. The moon goes into Sagittarius on the 4th and Capricorn on the 6th, making it a time for dissipating any excessive energy and doing some work to add stability to your home and garden if you're already looking with an eye to spring. On the 8th, the moon goes into Aquarius, where it will tip over and begin waxing again on the 9th. This is a time to have meaningful conversations and think about contacting old friends to renew those threads that bind you. The 10th sees the moon waxing in Pisces, heading toward Aries on the 12th. This is a time to begin actively working magic and build up a discipline for your practice, or else it could become overly theoretical and heady. The 14th brings the moon into Taurus, when that active working can get some grounding, especially if you're doing longer-term spells. It is also, of course, Valentine's Day. And one English custom, broadly found in Western European culture, is that all birds choose their mates on this day. So keep an eye out if you see or notice any birds pairing off. And notice how smug they look when they're doing it, too. Those jerks. The 16th has the moon in Gemini, generating a lot of new ideas, thoughts, social interactions, and generally rambunctious energy. The 19th and 20th see the moon in Cancer, which may mean doing some supportive work for yourself or others. Lunar bathing or magical baths in general would be good here, as would be getting some of your greenhouse preparations for spring done. On the 21st through the 23rd, the moon is waxing in Leo. Do things that make you or your space feel beautiful these days, and really let yourself shine. Also clear away any detritus that's in your garden or home to give yourself a clutter-free full moon. That full moon comes on the 24th in Virgo, and if you set in motion plans earlier this month with magical work, now's a day to look for fruition and payoff. If you do a working this day, make it something that has some long-term potential, something that you can maintain. The 25th to the 28th are a waning moon in Libra, echoing the month's beginning, and a good time to do warding and protection work to remove obstacles from your path. Finally, we have a leap year. This year we get an extra day in February on the 29th in the sign of Scorpio. That means an extra day of spiciness and intrigue. So don't waste it. Now we'll take a look at cards, divination, and proverbs for the month. Each month, Lane and I will pull a card for one another. One playing card and one tarot card or oracle card. We'll indicate the meanings of those cards in general and then read them for the other person specifically as a way to get a sense of how they're read in actual practice. This month I'm doing playing cards, and I pulled for Lane the Ace of Hearts. The general meaning of this card tends toward the idea of a new love or a relationship, but it can also indicate the beginning of an emotional undertaking or a feeling of loneliness. In Lane's case, I'm not reading it with any particular sense of starting a new romance, although I should note that new doesn't have to mean with a new partner, but can be a rekindling of an existing romance with someone, so have a happy V-Day, Lane. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. In all seriousness, I see this as a feeling of being a little isolated and lonely. I need to connect and feel like a part of something. Loneliness isn't always a bad thing, as it can be introspective and valuable. But here it feels like Lane may be ready to get a bit more social and spend some time doing things that make her feel emotionally valued, cared for, and appreciated in new ways. Definitely time for some friendly and witchy hanging out in the near future.
For the month of February, I pulled the Justice card for Corey. According to the Rider-Waite guide, this card signifies equity and rightness, while other sources, such as Rachel Pollack's 78 Degrees of Wisdom, goes into more detail, specifically drawing attention to the fact that this image of justice carries balanced scales but wears no blindfold. We're used to seeing justice depicted this way, particularly in courthouses and when dealing with legal matters, to signify that the law does not discriminate. However, this version of justice is more about social justice, which requires seeing the truth about ourselves and our lives. Hence, no blindfold. For Corey specifically, I believe this card is telling him that his life is settling into a balanced equilibrium after the chaos of 2023, as long as he is willing to be introspective and honest with himself. The folk divination method of the month is ink scrying. Since this month begins with St. Bridget's Day, and Bridget is the patron saint and goddess of poets, and smiths, dairy workers, and many others, we thought we'd look briefly at a very simple method for doing divination, ink scrying. Scrying in general is simply letting your intuition, or for some people, psychic abilities, interpret images and visions in an abstract medium. Put more directly, it's seeing glimpses of the past, present, or future in things like fire, crystal balls, or mirrors. One of the oldest methods of scrying involves pouring things into water and watching patterns, colors, shapes, and other figures form within the liquid. In Egypt during late antiquity, according to Judica Elish, a young boy would be asked to interpret images when pouring oil into water, which would create shimmering rainbows and patterns on the water surface. Using ink is a marvelous way to get a bit of insight, because the ink often creates a highly reflective void when used by itself, and generates fascinating patterns when poured into water. Fill a shallow dish, even a very small one, with dark ink, and then sit with a candle lit where the light catches on the surface of the liquid. Relax and watch the reflection in the ink and see what images, ideas, or thoughts begin to surface. You should receive flashes of intuition or insight as you sit long enough with the ink. Alternatively, you can pour the ink directly into your palm and look into it there. You can then add an extra layer of divination by pouring the ink out and pressing your palm onto paper to see if any additional shapes or images form. Doing the water-based ink divination requires having a vessel that will allow you to see the ink spreading out and moving, so a lighter colored dish is best. Once again, relax and watch the water, then pour a small spoonful of ink into the water slowly and watch what happens as it moves and spreads. Think of it a bit like a living Rorschach test in which you discern patterns from what you're seeing. What ink to use, you may ask? India ink, often available at art supply stores, is a good standard go-to, but don't worry, we've also got you covered later in the episode too.
Our witch's proverb of the month? Three things which will bring good fortune in love. Comfort in silence together, diligence in work together, and sincerity in speech together. Adapted from Irish Triad number 110. Our folktale of the month comes from Sweden and is known as the Sausage. There was once an old woman who was all alone one evening in her cottage occupied with her household affairs. While she was waiting for her husband, who was away at work over in the forest, and while she was bustling about, a fine, grand lady came in. And so the woman began to curtsy and curtsy, for she'd never seen such a grand person before. "I should be much obliged if you would lend me your brewing pan," said the lady, "for my daughter is going to be married, and I expect guests from All parts. Oh dear, yes, that she might have, said the woman, although she could not remember whether she had ever seen her before. But she went to fetch the pan. The lady took it, thanked the woman, saying she would pay her well for the loan of it, and so went away. 2 days after, the lady came back with it, and this time she also found the woman alone. Many thanks for the loan, said the lady, and now in return you shall have 3 wishes. And with this the lady left, and vanished so quickly that the old woman had not even time to ask her name or where she lived. But that did not matter, she thought, for now she had 3 wishes, and she began to think what she could wish for. She expected her husband back soon, and she thought it would be best to wait until he came home and could have say in the matter. But the least they could wish for would be a fine big farm, the best in the parish, and a box full of money, and just fancy how happy and comfortable they would be then, for they had worked so hard all their days. Yes, then the neighbors would have something to wonder at, for you may guess how they would stare at all the fine things she'd have. But since they were so rich now, it really was a shame there should be nothing but some blue sour milk and hard crusts of bread in the cupboard for her husband when he came home tired and weary, he who was so fond of hot food. She had just been to her neighbor's, and there she had seen a fine big sausage, which they were going to have for supper. Ah, deary me, I wish I had that sausage here, sighed the old woman. And the next moment, a big sausage lay on the table right before her. She was just going to put it in the pan when her husband came in. Father, father, cried the woman, it's all over with our troubles and hard work now. I lent my brewing pan to a fine lady, and when she brought it back, she promised we should have 3 wishes. And now you must help me to wish for something really good, for you're so clever at hitting upon the right thing. And it's all true, for just look at this sausage, which I got the moment I wished for it. What do you mean, you silly old woman? Shouted the husband, who became angry. Have you been wishing for such a paltry thing as a sausage, when you might have had anything you liked in the world? Oh, I wish that sausage was sticking to your nose, since you haven't any better sense. All at once the woman gave a cry, for sure enough, there was the sausage sticking to her nose, and she began tearing and pulling away at it. But the more she pulled, the firmer it seemed to stick. She wasn't able to get it off. Oh dear, sobbed the woman. You don't seem to have any more sense than I, since you wish me such ill luck. I only wanted something nice for you, and then, oh dear, and the old woman went on crying and sobbing. The husband tried, of course, to help his wife get rid of the sausage, but for all he pulled and tugged away at it, he did not succeed, and he was nearly pulling his wife's head off of her body. But they had now 1 wish left, and what were they to wish? Yes, what could they wish? They might, of course, wish for something very fine and grand, but what could they do with all the finery in the world so long as the mistress of the house had a long sausage sticking to the end of her nose? She'd never be able to show herself anywhere. You wish for something, said the woman in the midst of her crying. No, you wish, said the husband, who also began crying when he saw the state his wife was in, and saw the terrible sausage hanging down her face. So he thought he would make the best use he could of the last wish, and he said, I wish my wife was rid of that sausage. And the next moment, it was gone. They both became so glad that they jumped up and danced around the room in great glee, for you must know that although a sausage may be ever so nice when you have it in your mouth, it is quite a different thing to have one sticking to your nose all your life. We all know the warning about be careful what you wish for, don't we? We seldom get presented with wishes, though, in real life. When we hear a tale like the sausage, we know it's meant to be something a little humorous, a bit of fun. Still, I'd like to point to the beginning in this version of the story. The wife offers her use of a brewing kettle to the woman who turns out to be a fairy or some other magical creature who can grant wishes. There's hospitality in this tale. Something that meant a lot in times gone by, and still does to many people. In fact, while we might hear the woman's first wish as a bit silly when we think of all she could have, it's actually very sweet. She wants the sausage because she intends to make her home hospitable for her husband, and cook him something he would really like. She even excitedly tells him they still have 2 more wishes remaining that will make them wealthy and happy. And that's when it all goes wrong. Not because she wished for a sausage, but because the husband lacks that hospitable nature. Instead of seeing the sweetness in her gesture and the opportunity that two more wishes could bring, he is blinded by his own angry, knee-jerk judgment of her wish. If he'd paused for a moment and realized that he not only had two wishes, a delicious dinner, but also a wife who loved him very much, he would perhaps not have wasted those last two magical boons. Sometimes in our practices, even in our witchcraft, we can get caught up with the shoulds and ought-tos we perceive around us. We believe we know better than others. We make snap judgments about what they're doing in their witchery, or we have that done to us. What if those reactions are just putting sausages on our noses, though, and wasting opportunities to see the good things that are right in front of us? Sure, someone may be doing the spell wrong, according to a particular grimoire or our own experiences, but what are they doing right? Is it working for them? Are there ways you can learn from what they do, or that you can offer your own wisdom and experience in ways that are hospitable and kind? That doesn't mean ceasing to call things out that are dangerous or problematic for other reasons, but what if we raise those red flags not from a place of fear or anger, but one of care and compassion, one of hospitality and generosity? Maybe then there would be enough magical sausage for all of us. Or at least we'd keep our noses a good bit cleaner, so to speak. We'll finish up our notebook entry with a little charm or craft each month to add a practical element to your work. This time, making magical inks. Since we mentioned ink scrying earlier, why not try your hand at making your own magical inks? There are a number of natural substances that make great inks. Pokeberry juice, for example, can be extracted and mixed with a small amount of alcohol to become a deep reddish-purple ink that is wonderful for magical contracts, writing cursing charms, or making petitions. Other staining berries, such as blackberries and blueberries, can also make for very good inks, although in both of those cases, you would also want to add a bit of gum arabic available in art stores to make sure the ink thickens properly and can adhere to paper. But if you want to go a bit further in making your own ink, why not try making some lamp black ink? This is an incredibly simple, if time-consuming, way of making ink that Corey has practiced since his earliest days of witchcraft. To make this, you need a metal spoon, a candle, which you can color coordinate if you use color work in your magic, a small index card or piece of paper, a small wide-mouthed bottle, like a baby food jar, some pure ethyl alcohol. You can get this in drugstores or use liquors like Everclear or even vodka, which you can infuse with magical ingredients. Gum arabic, again found in art stores, or if you'd like, you can make a tincture of benzoin if you have that available. Light the candle and let it burn for a few moments until the flame is steady. Then hold the bowl of the spoon just above where the flame ends and the smoke point begins. The bottom of the spoon will begin to blacken, and you can move the spoon back and forth a bit to completely cover it. Once it's coated with soot, carefully place it over the mouth of the jar and gently scrape the soot into the container with the index card. Then repeat the process until you have a few teaspoons to a tablespoon full of the lamp black, which is what the soot is called. Carefully add alcohol a drop at a time and mix the lamp black with it until it's dissolved and looks more or less like ink. Then add a drop or two of the gum arabic or tincture of benzoin and stir it to make the ink stable. It's now ready to use for scrying or writing. You'll likely want to use a quill rather than try to fill a fountain pen with this, but feel free to try it either way if you like. You can vary this pretty readily by using a candle that you've dressed with herbs or oils for your specific needs, so possibly bay and tobacco if you want success in business, or basil if you're trying to boost income. You can also do something similar with rosin-based incenses like frankincense, copal, or myrrh. Just get the spoon close to the point at which the smoke comes off the incense without smothering it. Judica Elish also recommends adding rose hydrosol to this formulation, which would make the ink smell lovely too. You'll have very messy hands, and likely very messy everything else when you're done, and the lamp black will try to fly away if you're not careful. But there's something truly wonderful about working with magical inks. give it a try, and see if you like it. And then let us know how it went. Preferably by email. We don't want you to waste any of your newly made magical ink on us. That's it for this entry into your New World Witchery Folk Magician's Notebook. Thank you so much for being with us this month, and we hope that you have a truly lovely Groundhog's Day, St. Bridget's Day, Imulk, Valentine's Day, President's Day, whatever you're celebrating. We hope that February treats you well, and a great leap year as well. Hope you get a lot of extra fun out of that extra day. If you'd like to share your thoughts about this episode or any other with us, please feel free to write to us at compassandkey@gmail.com or newworldwitcherypodcast@gmail.com. Both of those can reach us easily. If you want to find this episode and all of our other episodes, you can go to newworldwitchery.com/podcasts, where we'll have a list of all of our podcasts. Newworldwitchery.com is our website, which hosts all of our podcasts, as well as over 200 articles on folk magic in North America that you can search and learn things from for to your heart's content. If you'd like to help support the show, we certainly encourage that. We really appreciate all the help that we get, all the support that we get. It's what makes a lot of these kind of extra sort of episodes possible. So please do consider donating patreon.com/newworldwitchery. Dollar a month or whatever you can afford, always welcome. And that will about do it for us this month. We'll be back again next month with another Folk Magician's Notebook, and we'll have some other episodes in February for you to enjoy of our main show as well. So stay tuned for those. For now, thanks for listening, and be well.